Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll give you just a moment there to find it. It is in the New Testament, somewhere between Matthew and Revelations. All right, let's all stand in reverence to the Scripture. I preached a few weeks ago here at the church. I've preached a couple of messages on settling for less. I don't know how many remembers that. I hope all of you remember it. Settling for less, and we dealt with Adam and Eve, classic illustrations of a negative part of settling for less. And then we looked at the two and a half tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, how they chose to settle down on the wrong side of Jordan, stop short. They were settling for less. But the Lord's put in my heart to go in a positive direction with a positive example. Both of those examples, and there's many more that could be used to show a negative side of settling for less, stopping short of God's blessings, stopping short of God's purpose for your life. But the man we're going to read about in this passage didn't do that. He did not settle for less. He went with God. He went for God, and God mightily used him, and his name is Moses. And so I'm preaching this morning on don't settle for less in life, and we're using Moses as our example this morning. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than that the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, you'll take the message and the scriptures and speak to us with it and Lord, through it. And may God, we be challenged in our faith to not settle for less, but to make sure that we choose you and your best and what your purpose is and your will is for our life, regardless to the consequences or the conditions that's associated with doing that. I pray you'll stir us up, Lord, and save sinners, I pray. Lord, use the message to strengthen the church, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Don't settle for less in life. And we're going to use Moses this morning, as I've already said, to point out some things about this truth. Let me say this morning, and this is probably where most of us, and me included, get messed up sometimes, is that we look at things the way our human reasoning would want to look at it. We weigh things out based on an earthly mindset. But the Bible plainly tells us and shows us in the Scripture that our ways are not His ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He does things that don't make a bit of sense. He allows things that comes in our life that don't make sense. When you look at Moses in his early days, it didn't really make a lot of sense what the Lord allowed to take place. But here we find as you look at Moses, and some of you may have been thinking this while we were reading the Scripture, because I wanted you to have my thought in mind as we read the Scripture. You may have thought, well, preacher, Moses, he had everything. How did he settle? How he did not settle for less? He was next in line to the throne. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Far as an identity, he had everything. He had popularity, rank, riches. I mean, you name it. He had it all. You could very well say that Moses was living the American dream to the fullest. Amen. Had everything, but. And you'd say, preacher, well, then how did he not settle for less? He, listen, remember what I said? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. When a person has a lot of the world, that don't mean nothing to God. But Moses stepped away from all of that and stepped to the spiritual direction where he even was suffering and persecuted for the, and bearing up under the reproach of Christ. Why? Because he esteemed that to be greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So he had everything, but yet he stepped away for the purpose that he realized by faith, he realized that more with this world is less with God. Less with God, many times, most of the time, is more than what this world can give. Amen. It may not look that way. It looked like Moses made a bad mistake. He stepped away from everything down to nothing almost. I mean suffering, persecuted, you know, walking with the people of God in a wilderness. I mean just, you know, the next 40 years was raised on the backside of the desert. Looked like a bad move. But faith was working in his life. Faith was working in his heart at the end of those his first 40 years of being alive. And God began to work in his heart. Let me read that verse. I want to read that verse. I read it this morning and spoke to my heart. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen giving that great historical message. Here's what he said about Moses. Moses was learned, verse 22, in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, I never seen this statement before till this morning, or it never stuck out to me, I should say. When he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart. You say, preacher, why did Moses make a change? Why did Moses step away and start refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? God started working in his heart. And I want to tell you, that's the need in my life. That's the need in yours. That's the need in our young people's lives. We can preach to them. We can teach them. We can try to exhibit an example to them. But I want to tell you what's absolutely essential, and it ought to be a prayer request, amen, that God does a work in their heart. Amen. Kids can be raised right underneath our noses in a Christian home. Set on these pews, and we've seen it over the years, right underneath the RBT preaching and teaching and singing and so on, and then slide off of a pew out into the world and out and even into prison, wind up in jail and so forth. And what's the deal with that? The external exposure is not what changes them. It's necessary. They won't never live a life they know nothing about. Moses made some choices based on some information given to him by his own mother. No doubt about that. I thought about that this morning. We talk about how spiritual and godly Hannah was. And oh my, we are not exaggerating. But I tell you, Jochebed, when you think of what she did and the faith it took for her to put a three-month-old baby in an ark of bulrushes, amen, that was pitched and put it in that river, amen, they had all kind of, may have had alligators and all kinds of snakes and every kind of, who knows what they had in it. Might have had piranha. I don't know what was in that river, amen. But I know it took a lot of faith for a mother. Come on now, mothers, let that motherly heart rise up to try to connect with Jochebed and Amram when they put a three-month-old baby in an ark and set sail down a river, not knowing where it was going or what was going to become of it, but they trusted God. She trusted God. And she may not have had a lot of influence in his life those first 3 months, far as him being able to remember. But guess what? When Pharaoh's daughter seen that, and her maidens saw that ark down there beside the riverbank, and they went down and got it, and there was a little baby, a Jewish baby, I might add. Are you listening? And Pharaoh's daughter was an Egyptian, and that was contrast. Amen. In fact, there was a commandment of the king to kill the boy babies. Are y'all listening? That's what it's talking about when he said not fearing the wrath of the king or the commandment of the king. Not fearing that. And boy, about the time they opened that ark up and they looked in there and saw that little three-month-old baby, I don't know how it happened. I don't know if the Lord pinched it. I don't know what happened. Or the Lord said, baby, cry. I don't know what happened, but he started pitching a hissy. Amen. Started screaming his head off. Of course, a baby crying appeals to a mother's emotion or a even a woman's emotions. And of course, they, oh, poor little thing, and picked him up. Next thing you know, he's being raised in Pharaoh's house. But he's 3 months old. He's starving. Amen. He's hungry. Needs to be fed. Well, they had to go find somebody to feed him. Pharaoh's daughter sent out and said, go find one of them Hebrew ladies to feed him. Well, guess who they found? Guess who just happened to be ready? Guess who was just happened to be on standby? Pretty close, making herself easily to be found. Amen, Jochebed. And Pharaoh even said, Pharaoh's daughter said, we're even going to pay you wages. She got paid wages to feed her own child. And listen, I can't help but believe this, that while that child was being raised on her knee and on her lap, amen, she would whisper in his ear, you're not an Egyptian. You're of Abraham's seed. Let me tell you about Abraham being called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you that these gods of gold here are not your God. Your God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your God is the God Jehovah. Your God is the one that created worlds by the word of his power. And all of that was going into that child's mind. That was going into that child's mind. Amen. Amen. That's right. Listen, think about the faith involved in that. Here Moses is being raised in all of that Egyptian exposure. But yet Jochebed kept telling him, this is not your home. These are not your people. Amen. And it kept working in his heart. It got in him. Hey, moms, I'm going to preach to y'all a minute. Moms and dads, put something in your kids that God can water and cause to increase, that cause he can cause to come up in the days to come. When he was full 40 years old, God all of a sudden started working in his heart. All of that no doubt mama had told him and taught him started surfacing in his heart and in his interests and in his thoughts. Then the next thing you know, he's making a decision to go and check on his brothers, check on his national kinsmen. Hey, amen, that's good. I jumped ahead of myself there a little bit, but that's all right. Verse 23, it's dealing with his parents' faith. Verse 24 down through verse number 29, he's dealing with his personal faith. And I made a note of that yesterday, I believe it was, or day before. I made a note of that if it hadn't have been for verse 23, you can about count on verse 24 through 28 wouldn't have been in our Bible. If it hadn't have been for the faith and the involvement and the interest of Jochebed and Amram in Moses' life, especially the mother, it is very doubtful, very doubtful that we would have ever heard about Moses. Moses would have never pinned down the first five books of our King James Bible. He would have never been known as the deliverer that led 2.5 to 3 million people out of Egypt. He was the man that spent much time with God. He was the man that received handwritten the commandments of God. Oh, my goodness. But probably and very likely, Brother Mark, had it not been for Jochebed, if it hadn't have been for her believing God in spite of all the Egyptian exposure and Egypt's a type of the world. Oh, may God raise up faith in us to believe God for our kids and for the kids that's coming to youth camp in spite of all the Egyptian exposure. Everywhere you look, there's Egyptian gods. There's worldliness. There's carnality on a higher scale than I've ever seen in my Christian life. But may moms and dads believe God, that God is going to do something in their kids' life. I had no doubt about it that there was never a day that Jochebed did not believe God was going to do something for Moses. that God was going to raise him up. Amen, that's right. Oh, my goodness. Thank God for parental involvement for children. Oh, I thank God. I just had a moment there in my mind thanking God for my mother. My mother that got involved when I was chasing after Egypt. When I was bowing down, as it were, to the Egyptian gods. I'm glad Mama never gave up on me. I'm glad Mama never said, well, he's too far gone and there's no need to pray or talk to him. No, Mama refused to even entertain the thought that her son was going to hell. No. Amen, that's right. And as a result of that, I got saved. Are you listening? So put something in your kids' lives. Put something in their lives, moms, dads, amen, in your home. Put something in their lives that God, put some seed there that God can germinate in their lives, amen? That's good, ain't it? Boy, I like that. But Moses, no doubt his personal faith, verse 24 down through verse number 29, his personal faith. Tell him about what he did. What he did for the Lord that came from faith and because of his faith. And notice the statement in verse 23, the first part, and also the first part of verse 24 is the same, by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They did that by faith. By faith, verse 24, Moses. And then it begins to tell and break it down what Moses did because of his faith. Amen. I want to say this statement. I've said it before. I say a lot of things before. Bible faith is active faith. It's not just a claim that, preach, I believe in the Creator and I believe in, and it's just words. Bible faith is real and realized, and Bible faith is active. By faith, and the whole book, Hebrews 11, is talking about what people did because of their faith, from their faith, through their faith, what came out of their faith. And I don't see a lot of that in our day where faith is really moving people and controlling people and stirring people and steering people. I don't see much of that. But real Bible faith is a consuming faith. It'll take over your life. But I want to say some things about Moses, if I could, this morning. The Lord gave this to me, actually, this outline that the Lord gave to me this morning. Actually, while I was getting ready, I was thinking about the scripture here where it said that Moses was hid 3 months of his parents. And then verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years. And I was thinking about those statements. And God showed me the first thing to deal with this morning was this. Don't settle for less concerning Moses did not settle for less concerning his identification. The first thing that come out of his faith, the first thing that come from his faith was his identity. And so clearly seen in verse 24 when it said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that identity with the Egyptian world. He identified himself with the Jews. Amen. And so don't settle for less concerning your identity. And I know that may sound simple and that may sound elementary, but I want to tell you, friend, I don't hardly know of anything that is wrong in our lives that is not associated with our identity. Amen? Popularity, that's nothing but an identity issue. Amen? Running with the wrong crowd, that's an identity issue. You're wanting to be identified with that crowd. You're wanting that crowd to recognize you. You're wanting to recognize what they do, amen? You're wanting to be identified with them. It's an identity issue. Immorality, if you boil it down, break it down, it's an identity issue. Amen. How many of you, now I'm not going to run this rabbit, but how many of you back years ago, your first experience with sin, that was because of somebody that you was running around with. Amen? And you didn't do it because you liked it. You didn't do it because you wanted to. You did it because you wanted to fit in. There's your identity. You wanted that identification. Immodesty Immodesty, it doesn't matter how you look at it, biblically, it's a heart issue. Amen, that's right. That's right. Amen. It's an identity issue. And it's a big one in our day. A big one. Why is it that people would dress in certain ways, certain fads, certain fashion? You're wanting to be identified with whoever designed it or whatever star is pushing that particular thing. And you're wanting to be identified with that. I mean, hairdos and all that stuff goes all, it goes back to the identity factor again. Amen. But Moses had to deal with that. Moses was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. Can you imagine what finery? Can you imagine what luxury? Can you imagine the gold and the silver and the money and everything that you could imagine? He had it at his fingertips. But yet, when he started getting interested in a spiritual identity, instead of a social identity, he started making choices that looked like was foolish. He started stepping away from being next in line for the throne of Egypt. He started stepping away from the very woman. Think about that. The very woman that had spent 40 years minus 3 months taking care of him. Pharaoh's daughter. He started stepping away from her. Can you imagine that hurt her? Do you know that Moses probably knew that was going to hurt her before he ever made those choices? How many of us know that when you go with God, God's going to lead your heart in your identity with Him versus your identity with people and the world, that God's going to lead you in direction that's even going to be misunderstood and that's going to be hurtful even to some people that love you? Because they're not going to understand. Think about her spending 40 years minus 3 months feeding him, taking care of him, clothing him, giving him everything he wants. Don't you know he was probably one spoiled brat? I mean, had everything that he wanted. And then all of a sudden, Acts 7, when God started doing something in his heart, he starts making choices, and the Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I bet that hurt her feelings. You know it did. And I would say it was hard on Moses' part to do that. You think that Moses do you think Moses loved her? Because he didn't know for years that that wasn't his mama. He didn't know. You know he loved her. You know he probably was grateful for how good she had been to him. You know that probably was the case. But when God started getting big to him and big in him, his identity went from social to spiritual and to scriptural. And he's saying, in essence, listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I've got to go with God. I can't settle for less concerning my identification. Amen. It's good, ain't it? What's involved in that? I may not get done with this morning. What's involved in that? What's involved in not settling for less concerning your identification? The first thing that I noted right here in verse 23 was, if you're taking notes, the first thing that was involved in that, I just wrote down the word parenting. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible said that Moses was hid 3 months. Now I want to tell you, friend, that's something every parent ought to be interested in. Is the word hid there means to conceal by covering, to hide or to keep secret. Jochebed knew the threat that was in the land that would include her son. And so she made the deliberate choice to hide him. Well, we need parents today that's willing to do that. Because you hiding them is going to be a part of their future identity. Amen? There's no doubt about that. Parents are responsible for their children until they're old enough to assume those responsibilities. That's right. Parents make choices for their children until their children is responsible enough to make good choices. That's right. And I want you to listen to this. His parents, Moses' parents, knew the potential danger that Egypt was threatening. Egypt's a type of what? The world. Jochebed, that spiritual woman, and her husband Amram, listen, was spiritual enough to know the world is after our son. The world is after our son, not for good, but for harm. Oh, I thought about this. How many parents will protect their children from spiders and protect their children from snakes? Come on now. And will protect their children from walking out in front of a moving vehicle. Will protect their children from falling or falling down the stairs or getting too close to the stairs or whatever. In other words, that's just in you to protect them. But my question is, how many parents are protecting their children from the world? More than likely, none of the kids in here will ever get snake bit. Or even maybe spider bit, or fall down the stairs. But I want to tell you, this world we're living in is after our children. And this mother knew that. And the Bible said she hid him. She hid him because she knew that if the world ever saw him, they would want him. Oh my goodness. Think about that. Jochebed knew that her son, her little baby, had qualities that the world wanted to put their hands on. Everybody ought to protect and hide and their kids, because you ought to know the world wants my child. Amen. The world wants my child. Amen. And when the world ever notices your child, you're in trouble. And when your child, and here's when it really goes to major trouble, it's when your child notices that the world is noticing. When your child, amen, come on now, when your child recognizes that they are being recognized by this world, you can't hardly do nothing with them after that spiritually. I've never seen anybody ever go into a stardom direction that was ever spiritual. I couldn't tell you one. I couldn't tell you one that's got a good church life. I couldn't tell you one. And you probably couldn't tell me one. Oh, I know there's some that gets on television and they'll say something about their faith and all that, but they never go to church, hardly ever go to church. How can they? But she recognized, Amram recognized, that her son was wanted by the world, and she knew that in his depraved heart, that when he got old enough, he's going to want the world. You know what that is? That's double trouble. The world wants our kids, and our kids has got a sinful nature in them. They're going to want this world. It doesn't matter what church they're being raised in, until God does a work in their heart. Amen. Dr. Ed McAbee, a hero of mine, he's way on up in years now. And he told me about a missionary that raised his family in the jungles. Seemed like it was in the jungles of Africa or something. Raised his family on the field. They never saw a funny paper. They never saw a TV show of any description. They never seen any kind of publicity or publications from this world. And he lost every one of his kids. And they'd never seen anything of what we think would be contributors to a child going astray. He said, what that is? What is that, preacher? It's called H-E-A-R-T, heart. They're depraved in their heart. Listen, you can put a person somewhere by themselves, totally secluded, and they're wicked on the inside. They're wicked on the inside. We're all, our heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You don't have to be around a crowd to be wicked. You don't have to be in Las Vegas to be wicked. I want to tell you, you can be wicked on a church pew. Well, amen, we're having a time. But she saw when Moses was born, she saw the importance of concealing her son. Not revealing her son, concealing her son. But you know what the main thing is today? Take your children as soon as they're able to walk and push them out into the mainstream currents of this world. Push them out there. Put them on the stage so they can be admired for their beauty. Let them perform some kind of talent so the world can give them some awards and trophies. And next thing you know, their head is this big. And they think, man, I am beautiful. I can sing. I can do this or that. And you've got a monster on your hands when that happens. What's wrong with children being concealed? What's wrong with children being hid? Well, we're having a good time, ain't we? His parents knew that the world was after him and not in a good way. Egypt never blesses a home. The fingerprints of Egypt, of the world, if it ever gets on your home, your marriage, your children, I want to tell you, it will leave filth. It will leave, amen, listen, it will leave. It will leave a trail behind of destruction. And we know that. The Bible gives examples after examples of that. We've seen it in our own lives, examples where people did not conceal their children, but rather reveal their children to the world. My wife and I have got family members that's doing that. Pushing them kids as fast as they can push them, you know, out into that recognized attraction. Oh yeah, take them to church. What good is that when they've got a taste of popularity and recognition and I can win something because I look a certain way? Brother, I want to tell you, you can't hardly win somebody like that to Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know the preacher's preaching it right this morning that your children loves this world before they ever even know what this world is? Everything this world's for matches their nature. Amen. And listen, and it's sad. It really is sad. But I'm not seeing only parents doing that. I'm seeing churches doing that in the name of ministry. My goodness, Lord have mercy. Amen. His parents knew that Moses had qualities either the world would fear or that the world would desire. And here's a question I want to ask your parents before I move on. Ask us parents. I just happen to be one. I've said some things about us. I'm talking about his identity. I'm talking about his identity. You take his mom away, you take her influence in his life away, I want to tell you, sure enough, he would have never had any interest whatsoever. Listen, you think he would have an interest in a life he knew nothing about? Do you think he would want what he didn't know nothing about? No. But he started wanting, God started putting in his heart what no doubt mama had put in his ear all of those childhood years. He started wanting it. But I want to ask you parents something. Us parents something. She only hid him 3 months. And then she had to take her hands off. The question to us parents is, do we have enough faith to believe God that even when they're out of my grip and my control, that God can work in their hearts? I'm telling you, friend, I don't know that I've got the faith that Jochebed had in Amram. He was in it too. The daddy was in it too. He was involved in that as well. to some degree. Put him in that ark 3 months old, going down a dangerous river. Lord only knows where it was going. But she trusted God with her child. Amen. Listen, parents, we can worry ourselves sick over what in the world, where are they going, what are they doing? We ought to say, Lord, I didn't just hide them in an ark. I've got them hid in you, and I've given them back to you. And Lord, I'm trusting you to work in their life. Egypt's going to be all around Moses, but God, I want you to work in his life. I want you to do something in him. Amen. She didn't push him toward Egypt. She put him in the hands of God. Amen. I was talking to Brother Massengale about that very thing that I'm just sharing with you right now. And he said, you know what? He said, we can't hide our kids forever. There's going to come a place and there's going to come a time, and you know Amram didn't like it, Jochebed didn't like it, and Preacher Rackley don't like it, and you don't like it, that there'll come a time to where you have to say, you know what, I've done all I can do, I do the best I can do, I've prayed, I'm putting you in the hands of God, and God's going to get you somewhere, somehow, sometime. Somewhere, your heart is going to be turned to God. Amen. 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 Well, that's right. And she did. They did that by faith, according to verse 23. I know that's strange for some of you. I like the song. I don't know who it is here that sings it. Sheltered by grace, by His grace. The song is, the first verse says, I missed out on heartaches this world feels every day. I missed out on broken homes that would steal my joy away. I have missed out on all the things they said I'd miss out on. Oh, but somehow I have a heart of peace while their good times are gone. The chorus says, because I've been sheltered by His grace. Listen, parents, kept in a safe place. Protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face. In a world of shifting sand, I can hold onto their hand. For they've guided me in how to run this race. And as the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace. Hide your children. Hide them. Conceal them as long as you can. But then there'll come a time to where you can't. There'll come a time that you can't do it no more. As far as hands on. And that time is hard and difficult, and you have to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Somehow, I'm trusting you to work, to do a work. Now, you tell me that don't require faith. I'm telling you it does. Most of us in here are hands-on. My daddy raised me hands-on. All right, son, we're going to the bedroom, and it's going to be hands-on. His hands on my hiney. That's right. But put him in the hands of God and say, God, we're going to trust you with our children. Do you think you can compete? Let me ask you something, parents. I'm asking myself too. Do you think we can compete with this world concerning our children? Do you think we could give them what the world can give them? Do you think we can give them the notoriety and recognition this world can give them? The answer to that is absolutely not. We can't compete with this world. And listen, you've only got a short period of time with your children for as hands-on and in close. Fill them full of the Word. Fill them full of Bible examples. Amen. Be a good example to them. Pray with them. Pray for them. And all of that. But when the day comes that they're not under your wing, so to speak, you have to trust God to take that seed that you put in their life and use it for His glory. And that requires faith. I don't know how much of that faith I've got, but I know it's in the Bible because I'm reading it. And I know of an example. I've already covered this one, but I want to mention it just for outline purposes. His identity, he didn't settle for less concerning his identification because of parenting that was involved in his life. Secondly, because of the refusing that was in his life. Look at verse number, I've already mentioned it, but I just want to point your attention to it in the scripture, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How many knows what come to years mean? When the Bible said that he would come to years, you know what that means? When he had become great. We're not talking about trying to reach, Brother Frank, a child that is wanting to be great. We're talking about a child that's 40 years old now and is already great. Already recognized, already popular, already wealthy, already in rank, ready to take the throne in Pharaoh's death. When he had come to years, when he was great, his identification was so big to him. Here's what the Bible said he did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Maybe people called him that, Brother Bob. Maybe people called him, hey, Moses. Or, yeah, he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I could hear him start saying, hey, don't call me that. He refused it. That meant he declined it. He rejected it. Amen? He didn't want it. It means to renounce it, to disregard his own interest, to contradict it. It's what that word refuse means. He was willing, because of his identity, being spiritual instead of social, he was willing to refuse even being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we've got parenting that's involved in his not settling for less concerning his identification. Refusing is involved. Thirdly, choosing, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Look at verse 24. It doesn't end with a period. Verse 24 deals with refusing. That's a negative. Choosing is a positive. He said, I'll now choose right until I first start refusing right. You got to refuse wrong before you can choose right. Are y'all listening to the preacher this morning? You've got to learn because of who you want to be identified with. That's the thing. Now, if you don't mind being identified with Egypt and you don't mind to be identifying with the Egyptian religions and immorality, if you don't mind that, then what I'm preaching don't mean nothing to you. But if you want to be identified with the people of God, as did Moses, you want to be identified with your heritage, you want to be identified with God and truth, I want to tell you what, your identification matters. And you'll be willing to refuse wrong and choose right, even when right is attached to suffering. Do you see that? Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Choosing it meant he knew what he was getting into before he got into it. He knew to step away from pleasure was stepping into persecution. Step away from that position of rank, Brother Mark. He was going to be stepping into the crosshairs of the enemy. He knew that, but his identity mattered. He wanted to be identified with God and God's people, even if it meant suffering, even if it meant reproach. So it involved choosing. That's right. I wrote down tomorrow's directions come from today's decisions. The refusing is what set the stage for the choosing. If he hadn't had a heart change concerning what he needed to refuse, what he needed to denounce, then he would have never had a heart to choose what he desired, which would have been right. Amen. I don't see much of that going on anymore. A denouncing, a refusing of things in your life that you know's of Egypt, that you know is that's not going to help you spiritually. God help us with it, amen. That's right. You say, preacher, we need preaching. You got that right. I need it. I need to go to a church where preaching's going to challenge me. I don't need to go somewhere where they're going to pet me on the back and sugarcoat it and amen. I need to go to a church that's going to preach about my identification as a believer. I need to go to a church that's going to preach about my separation and my sanctification. I need to go to a church like that. Amen. But a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people in our day don't want that. And you know what? There's hundreds of churches everywhere that'll never mention one word about sanctification. Never mention one word about your identification and refusing anything. Well, hey man, that's just me. God called me to preach, and that's what direction I'm in. Because I know we need it. Amen? Choose. I'd love to give you, let me just give you this. I could preach it tonight, but let me just give you this to you while you're writing it down. He never settled for less for his identification. Verse 23 and 24 and 25. Next, point number two, he did not settle for less concerning his compensation. Son, if that didn't get big to me this morning. Look at it, verse number 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, look at this, greater riches. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He's talking, and look at it, ends the verse. This is why he made that. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what motivated him to make the decisions that he did? He got his focus, Brother Brad, on his compensation. He got to realizing there's a payday coming. There's a payday, not a reward time, not a gift time. Judgment seat of Christ, there'll be no gifts handed out. A gift you didn't work for, a gift you didn't earn. Amen? It's going to be rewards. It's going to be payment, so to speak. And he had recompense had respect under the recompense of the reward. That recompense means payment of wages due. Moses realized that there's a higher pay scale than what Egypt's got. Amen. Egypt may pay with gold and silver and checks and money and material things, but Moses realized there's a day coming. There's a world coming, an eternal world that's coming in which I want to be paid. Amen. If you don't work, serve God, don't expect payment. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. That word respect means to look away from everything and fix your eyes and mind on nothing else. Moses becomes single-minded. Moses got so fixed on the recompense of the reward that was coming that caused him to turn away from the gold and silver and luxuries of Egypt. What about that now? I don't know if y'all are getting anything out of this or not, but it's a helping me. Amen? He got his eyes not settling for less. He didn't settle for less or compensate. He could have stayed put, couldn't he? He wasn't forced to make that decision, that move. He could have stayed right there, been next in line, and took over the throne when Pharaoh died. He would have had all Egypt under his control and lived his whole life like that. But oh my goodness, when the Lord starts working in your heart, it don't matter what you have and it don't matter who knows you. When God starts working in your heart, you're going to make decisions and choices to go in his direction. Amen. Well, I'd like to preach on that, compensation. He got interested in spiritual pay, heavenly, eternal pay. Last, you can write this one down, verse 27. He didn't settle for less concerning his identification. He didn't settle for less concerning his compensation. He did not settle for less concerning his observation, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. A lot of people wants the Christian life without that statement. They don't want to forsake Egypt. They want to be able to go to heaven, but they don't want to be holy in the trip. By faith, he forsook Egypt. That is, by faith, because of his faith, through his faith, from his faith, out of his faith, motivated and moved him to make a decision to forsake, abandon, cut ties with Egypt. Now you think about that. You remember what I said a while ago about the decisions he made, how it must have made Pharaoh's daughter feel and all that? What about adding to that? What about after he comes off the mountain meeting with God, Brother Carroll, and God says, I want you to go lead my people out. He goes to Egypt. I'm making it very short. He goes to Egypt to lead them out. Pharaoh said, no, I'm not letting you go. Long story short, God starts sending plagues of judgment, one of which was death to the firstborn. Who was instrumental in that? Who was instrumental in that? Who did God use? Whose hands did God use to bring that? Moses. The very man that was raised in those courts and that palace, now he's coming as a messenger of God with power on his life to administer plagues and judgment. A person get their identification right and they want to please God regardless to who it offends and regardless to who it hurts, I want to tell you what, that person's going to do something for Jesus, amen. God help us. Can't you imagine one of them, Pharaoh's daughter? Can you imagine? Moses, what are you doing? What do you mean bringing all these frogs in our land? What are you doing bringing the lice here? What are you doing bringing the flies here? What are you doing bringing this death of the firstborn? What do you mean? We raised you. We was good to you. Oh, but when you stand for God and you go with God, nobody may not understand, but you make a decision. I want to go with God. I want to be identified with Him. I want to stay focused on my compensation from His hand, not from the world's hand. And then there's observation. Look at it. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, and here was the key, as seeing him who was invisible. Amen. That's what kept him going right there. He endured how? Why? Because he had his eyes, spiritual eyes, not his physical eyes. His physical eyes could look on Egypt and see the gold and silver and gods of the Egyptians. But faith lets you see into the world to come. Faith lets you see into the spiritual world. Are you listening? The things of God. In fact, God Himself, you have never seen. I've never seen. But is He not real? Faith lets you see that. I've never been to hell, and thank God I'm not going, but I believe in it. Why? Because the Bible says it? Yes, but it's real to me. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never been there and saw it literally with these eyes, but I know it's there. Why? Because the Bible says so, and the Holy Spirit, the earnest of my inheritance, is inside of me that lets me know the deal is done in heaven, and I am heaven bound. A lot of people's not living by faith as far as being able to see and be able to have the realization of spiritual things. These eyes right here, all they can see is this world. And that's what's governing most people's lives. But Moses was governed by faith, the eyes of faith. He said, I see him who's invisible. You said that can't be, preacher. You can't see what's invisible. Not naturally you can't, but spiritually you can. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse number 18, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, watch this now, but at the things which are not seen. He said, we're looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul said, I'll tell you what's been my key. I'm not looking at the prison walls and jails and how I'm treated and beatings and snake bites and shipwrecks and abandonments. He said, that's not what I'm focusing on. He said, I'm focusing on what these eyes can't see. I'm focusing on what the spiritual man can see. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to not settle for less. Help us to not be an example as Adam and Eve was, and the 2.5 tribes were, and others in the Bible of people that did settle for less. They stopped short of God's purpose, your will for their life. They stopped short of that. They chose that. They wanted that. But Lord, I want to thank you that Moses gives us a portrait and it is an example to us of a man that made the decision, I'm not going to settle for less. I'm not going to stay with the more of this world if it's keeping me away from God and God's purpose and God's will. I'm going to go with God. And Lord, I pray you would help us with that. I pray you would, Lord, scotch us up, Lord, this morning in our faith and our commitment and our convictions concerning our identification. Lord, I pray for our young people. They're living in a world that, Lord, everything in our world is about social, the social life, social media. Everything's about the social life, knowing everybody else's business, knowing what everything's going on and who likes me and who's commenting on what I put up and all of those sorts of things. And Lord, if they're not careful, they'll let that same concern override their spiritual life. But I pray that this morning will be a morning that young people, adults, parents, us of all ages would hit the altars and say, oh God, forgive me, Lord, for wanting to be worldly in my identification, wanting to be recognized by the world and praised by the world. And Lord, if I'm praised by the world, I'm not praised by you. If the world is smiling upon me, you're not smiling upon me. If I want what the world can give, I will never have what you can give. Please help us, I pray. God, I know you burdened my heart to preach this, without a doubt. And we need it. I need it. Help parents in here. Help parents in here to step it up with what time they have with their little ones and put the seed of the Word of God in them. Pray with them, speak truth in them, that one day, God, you'll germinate that seed in their heart and they'll want to serve you and live for you. And Lord, we're praying that same thing to be true in youth camp, Lord, that young people who's coming from homes, maybe some of them, most of them coming from churches that have preached to them and sung to them and taught them, Lord, let youth camp be a time that some of that seed is germinated and you start working in their heart and they make commitments that'll not last till the next week after camp, but that will go to their grave with them, will change the rest of their life. Have your way, Lord, this morning. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, as a preacher. Help me, Lord, to not settle for less than fulfilling your purpose, doing your will, preaching your word, standing our ground. Oh God, that one day, Lord, that you'd be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, I'm not too sure you can say that of me now, but may I purpose in my heart for the rest of my days that could be said to me. Lord, that you'd be pleased, that you'd smile upon my life. And Lord, I believe every child of God wants to honor you. Lord, I can't make sense out of nothing else other than that. That's just clear. I don't understand a person that claimed to be saved and they just don't want to honor God. They don't want to make no changes in their life to refuse the Egyptian way and go with God. I don't understand those things, Lord. I really don't. And I pray you'll help me to be like Moses there at the end of the verse that I read and preached from. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on him who is invisible. That's you, Lord. May I not glance at you, but may I gaze upon you, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in this church.